Please get your Bibles now and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke this evening. Luke chapter 12. To verses 35 through 48 this evening, as we consider the subject of to whom much is given, much is required. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. Again, let's hear the word of the Lord this evening. Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." Tonight, we will attempt to keep this fairly short and simple, endeavoring this evening to mainly focus on a single application of the subject that is before us in this passage from Luke chapter 12, which is also reflected in the Shorter Catechism's 83rd question and answer, which I have there in your outline tonight, which is, "Are all transgressions of the law equally heinous?" Answer: some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. This is a hard subject to understand. And in fact, in the very next question that will come up in the order of the Shorter Catechism, we will consider the fact that every sin, no matter how small, no matter how light that sin might be, every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God. But even though that is the case, we are actually taught very clearly in the Bible that there are some sins that are worse than others, and that therefore there will be differing degrees of punishment. And that is what we want to briefly consider first off here. And if you're filling in the blanks, our first point is worse sins and degrees of punishment. Worse sins and degrees of punishment. To prove these assertions that I'm making here tonight, I'm going to simply read various passages that make this point, abundantly clear. And I realize that in doing this, I am simply seeking to prove the overall point. I'm not really explaining why this is the case or how it can be the case, but my hope is that this main point will hit home this evening with some force and some impact this evening, and maybe even stop some of you in your tracks tonight. Now, the hard thing that this particular subject or the problem that it raises with us and the matter that's difficult for us when we consider a subject like this is that we tend to be able to see the logic in why some sins would be worse and therefore would get greater punishments, but we have a very hard time with why other sins are considered to be so bad. For instance, we might be able to sit down and reason through why would a sin like adultery be worse than the sin of fornication? And if we think about it, we realize, well, the sin of adultery and the sin of fornication, they're both sexual sins, but adultery is a much more aggravated sin. In that, not only is there this sexual immorality, but there's also the violation of a covenant. There's the sin against the other person in the marriage. And we recognize, okay, I understand that. I can see how that would be a much more aggravated kind of a sin. But we have a hard time seeing why God would, let's say, put Sabbath breaking right up there with murder when it comes to the punishment meted out. We just don't get that. And therefore, this whole matter of some sins being worse than other sins is very much an area in which we have to we ourselves need to be absolutely submitted to the Word of God. God has to be the one who dictates what those worst sins are and why some will get greater punishment. And by faith, we need to tremble at the threatenings that we find in the Word of God, though we might not be able to understand why God hates certain sins worse than others. But let me just, again, prove biblically that there are worse sins and there are degrees of punishment. First off, I have just a very small portion in your outline tonight, but Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. Let me just read this a little bit longer section, but you have the salient point there in your outline tonight. And he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig in the wall. So I dug in the wall, and behold, there was an entrance. And he said to me, go in and see the vile abominations that they are committing here. So I went in and saw. And there engraved on the wall all around was every form of creeping thing and loathsome beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel. And before them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, with Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing among them. Each had his censer in his hand, and the smoke of the cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his room of pictures? For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. He said also to me, you will see still greater abominations that they commit. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the house of the Lord, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? You will see still greater abominations than these." The next passages are a little bit shorter in length. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you." Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. "Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. "So Pilate said to him, 'Will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?' Jesus answered him, 'You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin.'" Hebrews 10, 28 and 29. "Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace?" I could go on and on reading passages of Scripture that demonstrate that there are worse sins and there will be degrees of punishment. Some people will receive stricter judgment than others. But did you notice as I read through these passages that there began to be a theme in the passages as we read through them as to what sins are actually singled out as being the worst kind of sins? What did God and what does God underscore as greatly aggravating sin and being an even greater abomination to him? Well, this brings us to consider next our second major point this evening, and that is, if you're filling in those blanks, more light and greater responsibility. More light and greater responsibility. I don't want to draw this point out this evening, nor am I seeking to be at all comprehensive in dealing with this whole subject tonight with you. And so I want to get to the point right away, and I want to get there with all seriousness with you as a congregation this evening. The bottom line is that every one of you who is here tonight are now more accountable than you were before you came in here. And you will be judged by a stricter judgment in the day of judgment. That is an inescapable fact that is now true about you. That is to say, God will hold you more accountable for the light you have received. And this is why God's judgments against His people were always more severe and more serious than they were against the nations around them. Israel struggled, and you see it all the time, Israel struggled with why God was being so harsh with them, but yet somewhat mild with the nations around them. I mean, these were pagan nations. They were involved with the most grotesque sins and the most abominable practices went on in those nations. And just because Israel got a little creative in their worship, or they got a little loose on the Sabbath, or they got a little careless in their walk, God wipes them out. God uproots them from the land and He sends them into a 70-year captivity. And the reason given over and over again by God Himself as to why He did this was that their sin was aggravated and their sin was more heinous in His sight because they knew Him. And they had a relationship with Him and they had received light from Him. I'll give you an assignment. Go read this evening before you go to bed the first two chapters of the minor prophet Amos. And then read the first two verses of chapter 3 of Amos. God is pronouncing woe against the nations around Israel and Judea. And it's a cyclical thing. He's getting tighter and tighter. The circle is getting tighter and tighter as God pronounces woe against these pagan nations for their absolutely disgusting practices, for grotesque things that they did to their fellow mankind. And yet God comes closer and closer. And I think Israel, as Amos was prophesying, Israel must have been getting more and more uncomfortable, because it was very comfortable when he was denouncing the nations around them. That's cool. They would stand there. Yeah, those guys are really bad. But then it got very close and God turns his guns and has the biggest blast for Israel. And he says, and I am judging you the hardest because you, of all the families of the earth, I have known. You were in special relationship with me. Congregation, this needs to hit home tonight with some conviction. Jesus, in our passage in Luke chapter 12, notice he calls there right at the beginning in verse 35. He calls for diligence and he calls for readiness in our faith and walk, because we really don't know when he is coming back. Peter asks whether this is meant for them or for someone else. Are you talking to us, or is this for other people, what you're saying? You notice Jesus doesn't answer that directly at all. He goes on speaking. But he makes the point and he actually answers that question of Peter in a roundabout way, saying that actually whoever hears this is in the know now, and thus now accountable. In other words, this is to you and to all who hear it, Peter. And that would include us here tonight. He notes that the wise servant is always ready, and the wise servant will be living in a way that shows care and compassion. Particularly, it will be expressed in our love for one another, that we actually care for the master's servants. But the evil servant will not care about the things of the Lord. The evil servant won't care about God's people, and he will treat them harshly. And the great principle is put forward that every member of the church should take as seriously as any other matter that you will ever experience in your life. In fact, it needs to be the most important, the most serious thing that you contemplate in your life. Jesus says that to us, to his people, to those who have been given light, more will be required. We will be under a stricter judgment. And what we are being taught here, and the point of these passages, is that the worst sin that can be committed, of every sin, there is a worst sin. And that worst sin is the sin of apostasy. Apostasy is walking away from the faith. Leaving your birthright. Renouncing your Christian faith. To have heard and to have known the gospel, but then to do nothing with it and walk away from it is the worst possible position that a human can be in. To be counted as part of the covenant people of God, to have His name placed upon you in your baptism, to taste the riches of His word, to have been regularly taught the glories of the faith, to have experienced the kindness and the graciousness of God, and then to walk away from the Christian faith is the greatest and the most aggravated sin that could be committed upon you. Will come a stricter judgment. Indeed, Peter, I have this passage in your outline tonight, Peter makes this clear, saying that those who walk away from the faith, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. But for those of you here tonight, let me also magnify the grace of God again for you. I'm not pressing this point home to destroy you or to make you distraught. I press this point to drive you to Christ for forgiveness and grace. It is important that we remember that after the great exile of the people of Israel, when the land had been taken away from them, when they had been virtually destroyed as a nation, God still brought them back into the land. It looked like it was over. It looked like it was death for Israel. They were done. But this glorious picture of resurrection, against all odds, God brings them back into the land. He still had a remnant, and He still poured His grace out upon them. And if you are still here tonight, no matter how far you have fallen, no matter how far you have drifted, you're here tonight. God is not finished with you. There is still hope. There is still forgiveness. There is still restoration in Christ. The message is very simple. Come back. Come back today while there is still an offer to return. Because there will come a day when it will be too late. There will come a judgment day and it will be too late, and everything that you have been given, all of the blessings that you have received, all that you know, even this little message tonight, will be brought up in judgment against you. But none of that would happen. Nothing will be brought up against you if you find refuge and abide in Christ, and if you hold fast to that faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Let's contemplate these things as we close in prayer now. Our Father in heaven, we pray tonight that you would give us and keep within us a sobriety when it comes to your word and our walk with you. Father, we pray that as we live in this world and we are tempted at times to look round us and indeed outside the walls of the church and say, oh, those are the really lost people with the really bad sins, that we might be convicted. When we see in our own hearts a lack of love for you, and when we see an inconsistency in our walk, even though we have received such great light, these are great and heinous sins in your sight. And Father, we pray tonight for ourselves. We pray as well for our children. And Father, their only hope is you, and that you would be merciful and gracious to them. You called us to place your sign and your name upon them. You called us to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And some at this moment have walked away. And Lord, we plead with you. We are afraid for them. And we call you, O God, to please honor your promise. You said you would be a God to us and our children. And we plead with you tonight that you might bring them back and that you would restore them. May there be great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner is turned. And so, Father, please, we ask that you would hold and rescue and save our children. May the great light that they've been shown not become their damnation, but may it be unto their salvation. O Lord, hear us, we pray. Answer us in your grace, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.